Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into the world of free. You know, those free trials everywhere, streaming like Hulu or Apple TV, plus software like SEMrush, even those subscription boxes.
Yeah, they seem great, right? Try before you buy.
Exactly. But that familiarity, it can actually make us a bit vulnerable, can it?
It really can. We get so used to the good ones, the legitimate trials from big companies, that we might let our guard down for offers that are, well, less than honest, especially for stuff we really want, like health products or gadgets.
And it's funny, you see giants like Netflix kind of ditching free trials while the scammy ones keep using that free hook.
Absolutely. The lure of free is powerful psychology.
So what's actually going on behind the scenes with these trials, the good and the bad? What's the mechanism?
Okay, so the core concept for a lot of these is something called negative option marketing.
Negative option.
Yeah. Put simply, you sign up maybe for free or just shipping, and if you don't actively do something, like cancel, your silence is basically taken as consent.
The consent to pay.
Consent to pay. So, boom, you get charged. Maybe enrolled in an ongoing subscription you didn't realize you agreed to. Like automatic renewals, continuity plans.
That feels a bit off. Normally you choose to buy something, you opt in. Why would companies do it this way?
Well, for legitimate businesses, it can be convenient for customers who, you know, want the service to just continue, and it gives the company predictable revenue.
Okay, I see that side.
But the problem, the real friction point, is that silence, meaning yes, goes against how we usually handle transactions. The burden flips onto you, the consumer, to actively prevent the charge.
And that's the loophole scammers love, right?
Exactly. They make the commitment unclear up front, maybe bury the details, and then make canceling a total nightmare.
Ugh, yeah, the cancellation runaround. Are there rules to stop this? Protections?
There are. We've got laws like RSCA, that's the Restore Online Shoppers Confidence Act, and the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has its negative option rule. They're designed to force clarity and give you control.
But it still happens.
Oh, yeah, especially online. It's just so easy to click and sign up. You don't get a physical contract or a reminder. So it's easy to forget until, bam, the charge hits your card.
So vigilance is key. How do we spot the scams? What are the red flags we should be looking out for?
Right. Let's get practical. The first thing is often the advertising itself. Mm-hmm. Misleading ads, landing pages. Think crazy claims like miracle weight loss.
Yeah. Lose 30 pounds in a week kind of thing.
Precisely. Or fake news articles, fake review sites, praising the product, and fake celebrity endorsements, huge red flag. They might have a tiny disclaimer, but they bank on you seeing the famous face.
They also seem to pressure you, don't they?
Totally. False urgency, limited supply, offer ends in 5 minutes, countdown timers. Plus, the website design can be really slick, sometimes mimicking legitimate sites to trick you.
Deceptive. What about the actual agreement, the terms?
Almost always hidden or obscured. That's a classic tactic. They'll bury the real trial length, which can be super short, maybe starting the day you order, not when you get it, or the full price after the trial ends, or the fact you're signing up for recurring monthly shipments.
Where do they hide it?
Tiny print, links labeled just terms and conditions that nobody reads.
Yeah.
Maybe even pop-ups you just click away.
So you think you're just paying shipping, but you're actually signing up for hundreds of dollars in charges.
That's the trap. Unauthorized billing is rampant. You might see that initial shipping and handling fee, but it's way inflated. Or they just start charging your card for the full product price immediately or very quickly.
And those pre-checked boxes.
Yes. Automatic consent via pre-checked boxes is a big one. They enroll you in subscriptions by default. And getting your money back, good luck. They often make refunds incredibly difficult.
How do they get away with it?
It can be sophisticated. They might use shill corporations, dodgy payment processors, even change website versions based on who's visiting to make it hard to track and prove the deception. And cancellation. Forget easy. Unresponsive emails, impossible phone trees, endless hold times, agents trained to talk you out of it.
Wow. It really is designed to make you just give up.
It leverages psychology, scarcity, authority bias from those fake endorsements, our tendency to just click agree on terms we haven't read, the inertia of leaving a box checked.
Can you give some concrete examples? Where do we see this most often?
Oh, definitely health and beauty.
Yeah.
Skincare, weight loss pills, keto, Garcinia, that kind of stuff. CBD oils, teeth whiteners, they prey on insecurities, use those fake endorsements. The FTC actually went after companies like Tar Inc. for exactly this kind of thing.
What about other areas?
Streaming lookalikes pop up on social media. Free Netflix pass. But they're usually phishing scams to steal your info or install malware. Software and online services, too. You might see offers for free trial SEO services that deliver nothing, or worse, use harmful tactics that hurt your website, or unsolicited emails guaranteeing top Google rankings, always suspicious. Even established companies can blur the lines. Remember the FTC looking into TurboTax over its free filing claims?
Yeah, that was a big one. It seems so widespread. So, okay, what rights do we actually have?
You do have rights. Section 5 of the FTC Act broadly prohibits unfair or deceptive business practices.
Okay.
Then RUCA specifically targets these online negative option plans. It says companies must clearly disclose all the key terms before they get your billing info. They need your express informed consent, like you have to actively agree, and they have to provide a simple way to cancel online.
Simple cancellation.
Right.
That's key.
Absolutely. And the FCC's negative option rule, which got updated recently, reinforces this across all types of media, not just online. Clear disclosure before billing and consent. Unambiguous, separate consent, not buried in terms. And cancellation has to be at least as easy as signing up. If you sign up online in 2 clicks, you should be able to cancel just as easily. No mandatory calls to retention specialists if the sign-up was simple.
So the rules are there.
They are, and the FTC works to enforce them, often with the Better Business Bureau. Payment networks like Visa and MasterCard also have rules that merchants have to follow regarding recurring billing and chargebacks.
Okay, that's good to know. But prevention is better than cure. What's our defense plan? How do we protect ourselves before clicking?
Right, be proactive. First, research the company before you sign up. Do a quick web search for the company name, plus words like scam, complaint, review. Check the Better Business Bureau website, bbb.org. Look for actual contact info, a real address, a working phone number. Be skeptical if that's missing.
Makes sense. What about the offer itself?
Scrutinize it. Read all the terms and conditions, no matter how boring or small the print. Pay attention to trial length, what happens after, the full cost, renewal terms, cancellation policy, refund policy. Crucially, uncheck any pre-checked boxes.
Always uncheck?
Always. Question free if there's a significant shipping and handling cost that might be the real price. And confirm how to cancel before you even give them your card number. Is it online? Phone only.
Good tip. What about during the trial?
Mark your calendar. Set multiple reminders a few days before the trial ends so you have time to cancel if you decide to. And keep an eye on your bank or credit card statements for any unexpected charges.
Payment method matters too, right?
It can. Credit cards generally offer better fraud protection and chargeback rights than debit cards. Consider using a virtual credit card number if your bank offers it, one you can limit or cancel easily. Protect your personal info too. Maybe use a secondary email address for trials.
And overall.
Maintain skepticism. Trust your gut. If an offer feels too good to be true or you feel pressured, just walk away. Maybe talk it over with someone else first.
Okay, but what if you do get caught? You followed the steps, or maybe you just slipped up, and now you're being charged unfairly. What then?
Act fast. Step 1. Contact the company directly. Tell them clearly you want to cancel immediately and request a full refund. Keep records, dates, times, names, what was said, email confirmations.
What if they refuse or give you the runaround?
Step 2. Contact your credit card company or bank right away. Tell them the charges are unauthorized and you want to dispute them, initiate a chargeback. Provide all the evidence you gathered. The FTC website even has sample dispute letters you can use. Sometimes sending a formal letter via certified mail helps too.
Get the bank involved quickly.
Yes. And step 3, report the scam. This helps protect others. File a complaint with the FTC at reportfraud.ftc.gov. Report it to the Better Business Bureau. They have a scam tracker. Also consider your state attorney general's office and maybe even the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, IC3.
Lots of avenues for reporting. Mm. So wrapping up, it sounds like the main takeaway is just be constantly watchful in the subscription economy.
It really is. Mm. You need to actively manage those recurring payments and know your rights under rules like ROCA and the negative option rule.
It's not just on us, though. Regulations, industry policies, technology, it all plays a part.
Exactly. It's a combination of approach rules, enforcement, company responsibility, payment network policies, and crucially, informed and vigilant consumers like you listening.
So maybe a final thought to leave everyone with. In this world where free often isn't truly free, how do we cultivate that necessary skepticism, that habit of checking the fine print, without becoming so cynical that we miss out on genuinely good offers or new things worth trying?
That's the balancing act, isn't it? Being careful without being closed off.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks so much for breaking all this down for us today.
My pleasure. Stay safe out there.